Chapter 5 A Broken Crown. Wide and tall as the corridors were, they felt close, and dim, despite tall gilded stand lamps with mirrors on every branch, lit wherever daylight could not penetrate. Tapestries hung few and far between on the walls, scenes of hunt or battle with people and animals, arranged more precisely than ever nature had. Scattered niches held bowls and vases, and now and then a small statue, in gold or silver or alabaster. But even the statues seemed to emphasize that they were stone or metal, as if the sculptors had tried to banish curves. The city's hush was magnified here. The sound of their boots on the floor tiles echoed, a hollow foreboding march, and Perrin did not think it was so to his ears alone. Loyals quivered at every other step, and he peered down crossing corridors, as though wondering what might leap out. Min held herself stiffly and took ginger steps, grimacing ruefully when she glanced at Rand. She seemed to make an effort not to walk closer to him, and not particularly pleased with herself over it. The young Kyrianans started off swaggering like peacocks, but that arrogance faded as the drumming of their heels reverberated. Even the maidens felt it. Sulin was the only one whose hand did not sometimes rise toward the veil hanging down her chest. There were servants everywhere, of course, pale, narrow-faced men and women in dark coats and dresses with the rising sun on the left breast, and sleeves striped in Kolaver's colors. Some gaped in recognition as Rand passed by. A handful dropped to their knees, heads bowed. Most went on about their tasks after a small pause for deep bow or curtsy. It was just as in the courtyard. Show proper respect to your betters, whoever they are. Obey them and otherwise ignore what they do, and perhaps you will not be entangled in it. It was a way of thinking that set Perrin's teeth on edge. Nobody should have to live that way. Two fellows in Kolaver's livery, standing before the gilt-covered doors to the Grand Hall of the Sun, frowned at the sight of the maidens, and maybe at the young Kyrianan. Older folk usually looked askance at the younglings carrying on every bit as much as the Aiel did. More than one parent had tried to put an end to it, had ordered sons or daughters to give over, instructed armsmen and servants to chase off others like-minded sons and daughters like common vagrants or street ruffians. Perrin would not have been surprised if these doormen slanted their gilded staffs to stop Solanda and her friends from entering through the open doorways, nobility or not, and perhaps even the maidens. Few Kyrianans still dared call Aiel savages, not where they could be heard, but most thought it. The pair gathered themselves, drew deep breaths, and saw Rand over the maidens' heads. Their eyes nearly popped out of their faces. Each man glanced sideways at the other, and then they were on their knees. One stared fixedly at the floor. The other squeezed his eyes shut, and Perrin heard him praying under his breath. "So I am loved," Rand said softly. He hardly sounded himself. Min touched his arm, her face pained. Rand patted her hand without looking at her, and for some reason that seemed to pain her even more. The Grand Hall of the Sun was immense, with an angle-vaulted ceiling a full 50 paces high at its peak, and great golden lamps hung on gilded chains thick enough to move the gates of a fortress. It was immense, and it was full, people crowding among massive square columns of blue-black veined marble that stood in two rows to either side of the center aisle. The folk at the rear noticed the newcomers first. In long coats and short, some in bright colors or embroidered, some travel-worn, they stared curiously, intently. The few women in the back of the hall wore riding dresses and had faces as hard as the men, gazes as direct. Hunters for the horn, Perrin thought. Dobrain had said that every noble who could be there would, and most hunters were nobly born, or claimed to be. Whether or not they recognized Rand, they sensed something, hands feeling for swords and daggers that were not there this evening. More hunters than not sought adventure and a place in the histories along with the Horn of Valir. Even if they did not know the dragon reborn, they knew danger when they saw it. The others in the grand hall were less attuned to danger, or rather, more to intrigues and plots than to open hazard. Perrin was a third of the way down the long center aisle, close on Rand's heels, before gasps ran through the chamber like a wind. Pale Cyrianan lords with colorful slashes across the chests of their dark silk coats, some with the front of their heads shaved and powdered, Cyrianan ladies with stripes on their dark high-necked gowns and lace falls covering their hands, their hair in intricate towers that often added a good foot of height. Tyran high lords and lords of the land, with oiled beards trimmed to points, in velvet hats and coats of red and blue and every color, with puffy, satin-striped sleeves. Tyran ladies in even more colorful gowns, with wide lace ruffs and close caps studded with pearls and moonstones, fire drops and rubies. They knew Perrin, and they knew Dobraine, and even Havian and Min, but most importantly, they knew Rand. A ripple of knowing that kept pace up the hall with him. Eyes widening, jaws dropping, they went so stiff Perrin almost thought the Ashaman had bound them like the guards outside the palace. The chamber was a sea of sweet perfumes, and beneath that, undercurrents of salty sweat. But through it oozed fear, a quivering sort of smell. His attention was all on the far end of the hall, though, on the deep blue marble dais where the sun throne stood, shining like its namesake with gilt, the wavy rayed rising sun huge atop the high back. Colaver rose slowly, peering down the aisle over Rand's head. Her nearly black dress bore not a single stripe of nobility, but the great mass of curls rising above her head had to have been dressed around the crown she wore, the rising sun in gold and yellow diamonds. Seven young women flanked the sun throne in dark bodiced gowns with lace snugged under their chins and skirts striped vertically in Colaver's yellow and red and silver. It seemed that Cyrianan fashion was different for the queen and for the queen's attendants. A flicker of motion behind the throne picked out an eighth woman, hidden, but Perrin cared about neither Colaver nor anyone else except the woman to her ultimate right. Fael. Her slightly tilted eyes fastened on him, dark liquid moons, yet not a line altered of her coolly decorous expression. If anything, her face grew tighter. His nose strained for the scent of her, but the perfume was too strong, and the fear. She had a reason for being there on the dais, a good reason. She did. Rand touched Sulan's sleeve. "Wait here," he said. Scowling, the scar on her leathery face standing out as white as her hair, she scanned his face, then nodded with obvious reluctance. Her free hand gestured anyway, and another gasp ran through the chamber as the maidens veiled. It was almost laughable. The eight men in black coats trying to watch everywhere at once could probably kill them all before the first maiden drove home a spear, but no one knew who or what they were. No one looked at them twice, a handful of men with their swords sheathed, only at the maidens. And Rand. Hadn't they noticed that not a one of those men sweated a drop more than Rand? Perrin felt as if he were bathing in his. Stepping past the maidens, with Min still close beside him, Rand stopped as first Perrin, then Dobraine and Havian joined him. And Aram, of course, like Perrin's shadow. Rand studied them each in turn, nodding slowly. He studied Perrin longest, and took the longest time to nod. The gray-haired Cyrianan and the young Mayenner wore faces like death. Perrin did not know how his own looked, but his jaw was locked tight. No one was going to harm Fael, no matter what she had done, no matter why, no matter what he had to do to stop it. Their boots drummed loud in the silence as they crossed the huge golden mosaic of the rising sun in the blue-tiled floor and approached the throne. Hands gripping her skirts, Colaver wet her lips, and her eyes darted between Rand and the doors behind him. "Looking for Aes Sedai?" Rand's voice echoed. He smiled unpleasantly.
I sent them to the Aiel camp. If the Aiel can't teach them manners, no one can.
A shocked murmur rose and fell raggedly. Fear became stronger than the perfumes in Perrin's nose. Colliver gave a start.
Why would I...
Drawing a deep breath, she gathered dignity. A more than handsome woman in her middle years, without a touch of gray in her dark hair, she bore a regal presence that had nothing to do with the crown. She had been born to command, to reign, so she thought. And her eyes, weighing and measuring, betrayed a hard intelligence.
"My lord dragon,"
she said, making a curtsy so deep it nearly mocked itself,
"I welcome you back. Carrion welcomes you back."
The way she said it, she seemed to be repeating herself. Slowly Rand climbed the steps of the dais. Min half made to follow him, then folded her arms. Perrin did follow, to be near Fael, but only part way. It was her gaze that stopped him, a gaze that probed every bit as much as Colliver's. At him, as much as at Rand. Perrin wished he could smell her, not to try discovering why or what, just for the smell of her. The wash of perfumes and fright was too great. Why did she not speak? Why did she not come to him, or smile? Just a smile. Colliver stiffened a splinter's worth, but only that. Her head came no more than level with Rand's chest, though her towered hair rose almost as tall as he. His eyes slid from her face, and along the women lined up on either side of the throne. He might have paused on Fael. Perrin could not be sure. Rand rested his hand on one heavy arm of the sun throne.
"You know I mean this for Elaine Trakand."
His voice was emotionless.
"My lord dragon," Colliver replied smoothly, "Carrion had been too long without a ruler, a Carrionan ruler. You yourself said you have no interest in the sun throne for yourself. Elaine Trakand would have had some claim,"
a small quick gesture dismissed such a claim,
"if she were alive. Rumor says she is dead, like her mother."
A dangerous thing to say. A good many rumors said Rand had killed both mother and daughter. The woman was no coward.
"Elaine is alive."
The words were still flat as a planed board, but Rand's eyes burned. Perrin could not pick out his smell any more than Fael's, but he did not need his nose to know rage bottled right in front of him. "She will have the crowns of Andor and of Carrion."
"My lord dragon, what is done cannot be undone. If anything has offended you..."
For all her dignity, all her courage, Colliver made a visible effort not to flinch as Rand reached out and took hold of the sun crown. There was a loud crack of metal snapping, and the crown flexed, hardly disarraying her tower of curls as it pulled away, slowly straightening. A few of the brilliant yellow stones popped from their settings and fell. He held up the stretched arc of metal, and slowly it bent back on itself until the ends met, and... Maybe the Ashaman could see what happened, could understand, but to Perrin... One moment the crown was broken, the next it was whole again. No one among the nobles made a sound, not even a shuffling of boots. Perrin thought they might be afraid, too. To his nose, stark terror was stronger than any other scent now. It did not quiver, it spasmed wildly.
"Whatever can be done," Rand said softly, "can be undone."
Colliver's face drained of blood. The few wisps of hair that had escaped her coiffure made her seem wild, at bay. Swallowing, she opened her mouth twice before any words came out.
"My lord dragon."
It was a breathy whisper, But as she went on, her voice became stronger, and edged with desperation. She seemed to forget anyone else was present.
"I have kept the laws you made, maintained your policies, even those that go against the ancient laws of Kyrian, against all custom."
She probably meant the laws that had let a noble kill a farmer or craftsman and walk away.
"My lord, dragon, the Sun Throne is yours to give. I know that. I was wrong to take it without your leave. But I have the right to it, by birth and blood. If I must have it from your hand, then give it to me by your hand. I have the right."
Rand only looked at her. He said nothing. He seemed to be listening, but not to her. Perrin cleared his throat. Why was Rand dragging this out? It was done, or nearly. Let whatever else had to be done be done. Then he could take Fael away, where they could talk.
"Did you have the right to murder Lord Maringill and High Lord Mylan?" Perrin demanded.
There was no doubt in his mind that she had had it done. They had been her biggest rivals for the throne. Or she and they thought they were, anyway. Why was Rand just standing there? He knew all of this.
"Where is Berylaine?"
Before the name was off his tongue, he wanted to call it back. Fael only glanced at him, her face still a cool mask of propriety, but that glance could have set water aflame. "A jealous wife is like a hornet's nest in your mattress," the saying went. No matter how you twitched, you got stung.
"You dare accuse me of so vile a crime?" Colliver demanded. "There is no proof. There can be no proof. Not when I am innocent."
Abruptly, she seemed to become aware of where she was, of the nobles crowded shoulder to shoulder among the columns, watching and listening. Whatever else could be said of her, she did have courage. Standing straight, she did her best to stare Rand in the eye without tilting her head too far back.
"My lord dragon, 9 days ago at sunrise I was crowned queen of Kyrian according to the laws and usages of Kyrian. I will keep my oath of fealty to you, but I am queen of Kyrian."
Rand only stared at her, silent. And troubled, Perrin would have said.
"My lord dragon, I am queen, unless you would rip all our laws away."
Still silence from Rand, and an unblinking stare. Why doesn't he end it? Perrin wondered.
"These charges against me are false. They are mad."
Only that silent stare for answer. Colliver moved her head uneasily.
"Anura, advise me. Come, Anura, advise me."
Perrin thought she spoke to one of the women with Fael, but the woman who stepped from behind the throne did not wear the striped skirts of an attendant. A broad face with a wide mouth and a beak of a nose regarded Rand from beneath dozens of long, thin, dark braids. An ageless face. To Perrin's surprise, Javian made a sound in his throat and began grinning. His own hackles were standing straight.
"I cannot do this, Colliver,"
the Aes Sedai said in a Tarabonner accent, shifting her gray-fringed shawl.
"I fear I have allowed you to misperceive my relationship to you."
Drawing a deep breath, she added,
There is no need for this, Master Althor."
Her voice became slightly unsteady for a moment.
"Or my lord dragon, if you prefer. I assure you I harbor no ill intentions toward you. If I did, I would have struck before you knew I was here."
"You might well have died if you had."
Rand's voice was icy steel. His face made it seem soft.
"I'm not who has shielded you, Aes Sedai. Who are you? Why are you here? Answer me!
I don't have much patience with your kind.
Unless you want to be hauled out to the Aiel camp, I wager the wise ones can make you speak freely."
This Anura was not slow-witted. Her eyes darted to Aram, then to the aisle where the Ashaman stood. And she knew. They had to be who he meant in their black coats, grim faces dry when every other but hers and Ran's glistened. Young Jahar was watching her like a hawk watching a rabbit. Incongruously, Loyal stood in the midst of them with his axe propped against his shoulder. One big hand managed to hold an ink bottle and an open book, pressed awkwardly against his chest, while the other scribbled as fast as he could dip a pen fatter than Perrin's thumb. He was taking notes. Here. The nobles heard Rand as well as Anura did. They had been watching the veiled maidens uneasily. Now they crowded back from the Ashaman, pressing together like fish in a barrel. Here and there someone sagged in a faint, held up by the throng. Shivering, Anura adjusted her shawl and regained all the vaunted Aes Sedai composure.
"I am Anura Larison, my lord dragon, of the Grey Alja."
Nothing about her said that she was shielded and in the presence of men who could channel. She seemed to answer as a favor.
"I am the advisor to Berylaine, first of Mayenne."
So that was why Havien was grinning like a madman. He had recognized the woman. Perrin did not feel like grinning at all.
"This has been kept secret, you understand," she went on, "because of the attitude of Tyr both toward Mayenne and toward Aes Sedai. But I think me the time for secrets. It is past, yes?"
Anura turned to Kolaver, and her mouth firmed.
"I let you think what you would think, but Aes Sedai do not become advisers simply because someone tells them they are, most especially when they already advise someone else."
"If Berylaine confirms your story," Rand said, "I will parole you to her custody."
Looking at the crown, he seemed to realize for the first time that the spray of gold and gems was still in his hand. Very gently he set it on the silk-covered seat of the Sun Throne. "I don't think every Aes Sedai is my enemy. Not entirely. But I won't be schemed against, and I won't be manipulated. Not anymore." "It's your choice, Anura. But if you make the wrong one, you will go to the wise ones. If you live long enough. I won't hobble the Ashaman, and a mistake could cost you."
"The Ashaman," Anura said calmly. "I quite understand."
But she touched her lips with her tongue.
"My lord dragon, Kolaver plotted to break her oath of fealty."
Perrin had wished so hard for Fael to speak that he jumped when she did, stepping out of the line of attendants. Choosing her words carefully, she confronted the would-be queen like a stooping eagle. Light, but she was beautiful.
"Kolaver swore to obey you in all things and uphold your laws, but she has made plans to rid Carrion of the Aiel, to send them south and return all to as it was before you came. She also said that if you ever returned, you would not dare change anything she had done. The woman she told these things, Mare, was one of her attendants. Mare vanished soon after telling me. I have no proof, but I believe she is dead. I believe Kolaver regretted revealing too much of her mind, too soon."
Dobrain strode up the steps to the dais, his helmet under his arm. His face might have been cold iron.
"Kolaver Saigon,"
he announced in a formal voice that carried to every corner of the Grand Hall.
"By my immortal soul under the light, I, Dobrain, high seat of House Taberwin, do arraign and censure you of treason, the penalty for which is death."
Rand's head went back, eyes closed. His mouth moved slightly, but Perrin knew that only he and Rand heard what was said.
"No, I cannot. I will not."
Perrin understood the delay now. Rand was searching for a way out. Perrin wished he could see one. Kolaver certainly did not hear, but she wanted a way out, too. She looked around wildly, to the Sun Throne, to her other attendants, to the assembled nobility, as though they might step forward to defend her. Their feet could as well have been set in cement. A sea of carefully blank, sweaty faces confronted her, and eyes that avoided hers. Some of those eyes rolled toward the Ashaman, but not too openly. The already considerable space between nobles and Ashaman widened noticeably.
"Lies!" she hissed, hands knotted in her skirts. "All lies! You sneaking little—"
She took a step toward Fail. Rand stretched his arm between them, though Kolaver appeared not to see it, and Fail looked as though she wished he had not. Anyone who attacked her was in for a surprise.
"Fail does not lie," Perrin growled.
Well, not about something like this. Once again, Kolaver recovered herself. Slight as her height was, she drew up every inch of it. Perrin almost admired her. Except for Mylan and Marengil and this mare, and the light alone knew how many others.
"I demand justice, my lord dragon."
Her voice was calm, stately, royal.
"There is no proof of any of this filth. A claim that someone who is no longer in Kyrian says I spoke words I never did? I demand the Lord Dragon's justice. By your own laws, there must be proof."
"How do you know she is no longer in Kyrian?" Dobraine demanded. "Where is she?"
"I assume she is gone."
She addressed her answer to Rand.
"Mare left my service, and I replaced her with Rila there."
She gestured toward the third attendant on the left.
"I have no idea where she is. Bring her forward if she is in the city, and let her make these ridiculous charges to my face. I will fling her lies in her face."
Fail looked murder at her. Perrin hoped she would not produce one of those knives she kept hidden about her. She had a habit of doing that when she became angry enough. Anura cleared her throat. She had been studying Rand much too closely for Perrin's comfort. She reminded him of Varen suddenly, that look of a bird examining a worm.
"May I speak, Master, my Lord Dragon?"
At his curt nod, she went on, adjusting her shawl.
"Of young Mare, I know nothing except that one morning she was here, and before nightfall she was nowhere to be found, and none knew where she had gone. But Lord Marengil and High Lord Mylan, they are a different matter. The first of Mayen, she brought with her two most excellent thief-catchers, men experienced in ferreting out crimes. They have brought before me two of the men who waylaid the High Lord Mylan in the streets, though both insist they only held his arms while others did the stabbing. Also, they brought me the servant who put poison in the spiced wine Lord Marengil liked to drink at bedtime. She also protests her true innocence. Her invalid mother would have died, and she herself had Lord Marengil not. So she says, and in her case, I believe she speaks truly. Her solace at confession was not false, I think. Both the men and the woman agree in this. The orders for their actions came from the mouth of Lady Kolaver herself."
Word by word, the defiance leached out of Kolaver. She still stood, yet it seemed a wonder. She appeared as limp as a damp rag.
"They promised," she mumbled to Rand. "They promised you would never return."
Too late, she clamped both her hands over her mouth. Her eyes bulged. Perrin wished he could not hear the words coming from her throat. No one should make sounds like that.
"Treason and murder," Dobraine sounded satisfied.
Those whimpered screams did not touch him.
"The penalty is the same, my lord dragon. Death. Except by your new law, it is hanging for murder."
For some reason, Rand looked at Min. She returned his gaze with profound sadness. Not for Kolaver, for Rand. Perrin wondered whether a viewing was involved.
I demand the headsman,
Colivert managed in a strangled voice. Her face sagged. She had become old on the spot, and her eyes were mirrors of stark terror. But with nothing left, she fought on for the scraps.
It is my right. I will not be hanged like some commoner.
Rand seemed to struggle with himself, shaking his head in that disturbing way. When he spoke at last, his words were winter cold and anvil hard.
Colivert Saigon, I strip you of your titles.
He drove the words like nails.
I strip you of your lands and estates and possessions. Of everything but the dress you stand in. Do you own, did you own, a farm? A small farm?
Each sentence staggered the woman. She swayed drunkenly on her feet, soundlessly mouthing the word farm as if she had never heard it before. Honora, Fail, everyone stared at Rand in amazement or curiosity or both. Perrin, not least.
A farm?
If there had been silence in the Grand Hall before, now it seemed that no one even breathed.
Dobrain, did she own a small farm?
She owned many farms, my Lord Dragon, the Carrion replied slowly.
Clearly he understood no more than Perrin did.
Most are large, but the lands near the Dragon Wall have always been divided into small holdings, less than 50 hides. All of the tenants abandoned them during the Aiel War.
Rand nodded.
Time to change that. Too much land has lain fallow too long. I want to move people back there to farm again. Dobrain, you will find out which farm of those Colivert owned near the Dragon Wall is the smallest. Colivert, I exile you to that farm. Dobrain will see you're provided with what is needed to make a farm work, and with someone to teach you how to till the soil. And with guards to see that you never go farther from it than you can walk in a day so long as you live. See to it, Dobrain. In a week, I want her on her way.
A bewildered Dobrain hesitated before nodding. Perrin could catch murmurs from the assembly behind him now. This was unheard of. None understood why she was not to die. And the rest? Estates had been confiscated before, but never all. Never nobility itself. Nobles had been exiled, even for life. But never to a farm. Colivert's response was immediate. Eyes rolling up in her head, she collapsed, crumpling backward toward the steps. Perrin darted to catch her, but someone was ahead of him. Before he had taken a full step, her fall simply stopped. She slumped in midair, slanting over the steps to the dais, head dangling. Slowly, her unconscious form rose, swung around, and settled gently in front of the sun throne. Rand. Perrin was sure the Ashaman would have let her fall. Honora tisked. She did not appear surprised or perturbed, except that her thumbs rubbed her forefingers nervously.
I suspect she would have preferred the headsman. I will see to her if you have your man, your Ashaman.
She's not your concern, Rand said roughly. She is alive and... She is alive.
He drew a long, ragged breath. Min was there before he let it out. She only stood near him, yet she looked as if she wanted to do something more. Slowly his face firmed.
Honora, you will take me to Berylane. Release her, Jahar. She'll be no trouble. Not with one of her and nine of us. I want to find out what has been going on while I was away, Honora.
and what Berlane means bringing you here behind my back.
No, don't speak. I'll hear it from her.
Perrin, I know you want some time with Fael.
Rand's gaze swept slowly around the hall, over all the nobles waiting silently. Under his stare, none dared move a muscle. The scent of fear far outweighed any other, convulsing sharply.
Except for the hunters, everyone there had given him the same oath as had Kolaver. Perhaps just being in this gathering was treason, too? Perrin did not know.
"This audience is at an end," Rand said. "I will forget every face that departs now."
Those at the front, the highest ranking, the most powerful, began their progress toward the doors without too much haste, avoiding the maidens and the Ashaman standing in the aisle, while the rest waited their turn. Every mind must have been turning over what Rand had said, though. What precisely did he mean by now? Purposeful strides quickened, skirts were lifted. Hunters nearest the doors began slipping out, first one at a time, then in a flood. And seeing them, lesser nobles among the Kyrianen and Tyrans departed ahead of the higher. In moments it was a milling mass at the doors, men and women pushing and elbowing to get out. Not one looked back at the woman stretched out before the throne she had held so briefly.